Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, Creepies, welcome to episode 108. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Gentlemen, how's it going?
It's going.
It's a great night.
Great, great night.
Great, great.
Great, great.
Great.
I've not heard that out of his mouth in all these episodes, so that's
I'm in good mood, finally.
You're waiting. Man.
What do you mean? All these other episodes, you seem fine.
I'm like, man, when's he going to be in a better mood?
It was all a ruse.
Define fine.
It gets tricky, right?
Yeah. Week's going well?
Good. Yeah.
Good. Good.
Yeah. That's catching you up on all my antics.
There are some antics. There are some antics by your man, Nate.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I'm glad, we're in front of the mics. I hope the creepies are having a good week whenever they hear this. So always a good time to record.
That's right.
Yeah. But see, today's Wednesday. Yeah, so you guys will be on spring break next week.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we won't record.
Which will already happen by the time this drops.
Oh,
right?
This will be 2 or 3 weeks after, or maybe a couple of weeks after, something like that. Yeah. So
this timing gets confusing, doesn't it? After all this,
what's nice is we're actually ahead. We have some cushion there. So
I like it.
Yeah, the creepies will not miss. We can't let them down.
No.
Heck no. That's good. Yeah, I'm off Monday through Wednesday next week. So looking forward to that.
What are you doing? Anything fun?
Not one.
You're not allowed to
staycation.
No fun things.
Yeah, we always do the staycation for spring break, and then our vacation will be in the summer, so where we actually go somewhere. And this year it's the volleyball tournament in Orlando, but we'll still have time to do fun stuff. So that's what Elijah was worried about. He's like, are we going to just watch volleyball all week? No.
just for, that poor kid, he's scared
we'll
to death.
Have time to do other stuff, so yeah.
But mainly, yeah, just volleyball.
I said, but yeah, it's 90% volleyball.
We'll go in this room, watch some volleyball. Then we'll leave and go in this room, watch some more volleyball.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be changing courts here and there.
Sorry, kid.
They'll have concessions. I mean, what more do you want? Yeah.
I'll buy a pretzel.
Ooh, that's pretzel. Well, anyway, hey, yeah. Welcome back, Creepies. Episode 108. I told Amy the other day, I'm like, it seemed like just 8 episodes, we did 100. Isn't that weird?
It is.
Yeah, it was 8 episodes ago.
I'm good at math.
With math.
I'm a numbers guy. Yeah. No, but it is weird. I'm like, man, we're way past 100 now. So, because we had that big countdown forever.
Mm-hmm.
I think, again, all this timing of everything ago. Since we're ahead a little bit, which is we haven't been for a while. So we were just used to being like, okay, real time. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're actually getting the episodes, dropped at 7?
Which is awesome.
Instead of midnight, but it is what it is. So
it is, right?
Yeah. We even have, I think, the minis were ahead, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Not bad.
Rocking and rolling.
Rocking and rolling. Like that's your Mako boys.
Rockin'. We got our stuff together.
We-ish.
Well, I finally did. I got a list of places to do episodes on. So
you did. You told
about
us
about time.
He's I was like, it. Man, it's I thought you were going to name like 3 or 4 things.
Begging me.
Just kept going. I'm like, oh, great. Maybe I should have.
It's been brought.
Nate, you got anything?
Nope. Don't threaten me.
Not yet. And then an hour and a half later, oh, now I've got this place and this castle and this. Jail and
Todd's like threatening does work for Nate. Gauntlet.
If you haven't figured it out yet, I am an all-star procrastinator.
I didn't figure that out. I didn't know.
Procrastinator.
I'm glad you explained that because I never picked that up.
It is my forte.
You do best under pressure.
I do.
You told me not that long
ago. Oh, you brought it. Yeah, you've got a big list. So I'm like, I won't bug you for about 3 months, maybe 6.
Hey, you put me in a corner and get me panicking. I'll pump some stuff out.
Nate, what's wrong? I got to come up with some episodes, man.
You need an essay, 2,000 words?
Night before.
Yep. Give me a couple hours.
I didn't think anybody was allowed to put Nate in the corner. Nobody puts Nate in the corner.
Usually I have the taxes turned into our tax person by like February, mid-February. And it was, I'd asked her, I said, Sandy, what's the last date that I can turn our stuff in? She goes, March 15th. And I had... I think 3 weeks at that time, like, oh, plenty of time. I dropped it off on the 14th. Way too late. But I had erased all my business information, so I had to redo everything. I was like, I am dreading doing that, so that's why it took so long. But anyway, I said, yeah.
You know, now it's done, right?
Plenty of time. Even a day early.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, 24 hours.
Yeah, I know. I was like, plenty of time.
Under the wire.
Like, I did my OSHA 30. You have 6 months, I think, to do it.
You
30
do.
Hours. I waited until the last 2 weeks.
That's awesome.
And there's pride in that smile. Yeah. Laugh. That's yeah. There's almost a snort there.
It was horrible. Absolutely horrible. It would have been better if I spread it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I get it. There's some things I do right away, and there's a lot of things I'm like, Why do it now? You know, I have time.
Time's relative. Like, right?
Don't need to stress.
Then I'm like, why didn't I do it? Yeah, 6 months ago or whatever. Well, good. I'm glad, Nate. And and Sean, you're having a good week, son?
Week's okay. It's good. Yeah. One day at a time. Yeah. Yeah, we had this at when this is dropped, it'll be quite a ways past, but my dad did pass away.
I didn't want to bring it up.
I know.
I'm glad you did.
No, I wanted to. You know, it's something that, you know, my father is very special to me, and he's been fighting a battle with end-stage Alzheimer's. My mom's been taking good care of him and excellent care of him, and my brother and sister and I have been trying to handle that with her, and so it's honestly, it's a blessing as well as, you know, it's painful when anytime somebody passes, but he's in a better place now. We know that. The pain of death is worst on the living, you know what I mean? Like he's good.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
He's good. So, so it is, but it's still rough. There's still grieving. There's still tears. I always tell people I'm not much of a crier. Well, this last month I have been, but I do most of my crying out off the side on my own, you know, kind of thing. But, but yeah, so
the trick is okay, though. I mean, in honestly, the shower.
Yeah. Right. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. It's wet in there, but yeah, even my kids are like, Dad, you never cry. And it's like, yeah, it's okay though. Like I should more, you know, it's okay that I am, you know, so
I have found the past couple years that I don't know. I feel things build up on me and then I just break out and start crying. Not any particular thing, but I could just feel the weight of things that have been on my mind.
A psychic weight. Yeah.
Yeah, and I finally
I get it.
Yeah, your body
break down.
I
cry for about 10 minutes, then I'm good.
Normally, it's after Todd berates me. That's when I need to cry. No, I'm just kidding.
And I get a little teary-eyed when there's a tearjerker movie.
Yeah,
I've
been victim of a couple of those.
You crying? No, I just get so.
No, you're crying.
Somebody's fixing onions. Yeah, especially when I watch, like, you know, dogs or animals get hurt. Or,
Homeward Bound.
Oh, my
gets
gosh.
Me every
oh,
time.
Oh, my gosh. I'm a big crybaby.
It's hard to watch those movies.
Yeah. So what's the movie with the dog dies and then it just keeps reincarnating?
A Dog's Purpose.
Is that what it was? Yeah, it's like a... Mm. It's a, like a...
They made a couple of them.
I mean,
that was rough.
How it just keeps dying, but back to life. Then I cried.
I cry every single time
that it dies, whatever the situation. I'm like, I can't do this. I cannot do this. I can't breathe.
One and done.
Yeah, it's like
can't watch that movie again.
It's like Marley and Me. Yeah, that's another one. That's rough.
I have not seen that movie because
it's hard to watch. It's good.
I'm not gonna do it. No, I will not watch Marley and Me. Marley and You and Marley and Them.
Right?
Marley, I take Marley. Yeah, so, well, good. I'm glad you mentioned it because I didn't want to.
Mm-hmm. No, I appreciate that.
I guess I should have asked you before we started.
No, it's fine. Nope, it's perfectly fine. And no, today's been a good day. Like, this whole crazy month has been good days, bad days kind of thing. And you just, every day is a new day to start again. That's what my friend says that.
You guys need it.
My boss even said that. He told me, he goes, because I was back and forth whether I was going or not. And even this week has been up in the air a little bit, talking to doctors still, making sure that everything's good. And I, you know, even my mom said, and she's like, you know, now my dad's passed, she's like, you know, she's a little worried about health things too. But she said, you know what? Sometimes you just got to just live, you know, and that's what your dad would want you to do. And so it's like, I'm not going to do anything stupid, you know, except for whatever Nate tells me to do. but my boss even said, I can't tell you what to do, but I hope you, if you decide to go, I hope you just have the best time and just relax and enjoy yourself because you deserve it. So that meant a lot to me, you know?
Yeah.
So
good.
But yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you take a cruise? Yeah.
You know, I think I will. Yeah. Take next week. A long one.
You know what?
Don't come back.
We won't record.
We are
take
on
a week
it.
Off.
Thanks, Todd. Thank you. You care. You do care.
Not a problem. Well, good. I'm sorry to hear that, but he's the actual lucky one. So
that's right. That's
in the big picture. So let's move on to the dad joke.
I'm ready.
The show.
I'm in need.
See, there's this daddy egg, you know, and he's sitting in the house. He's in the living room. And he's got his little kid eggs, you know, and they're just talking and they're just laughing and carrying on. And mommy egg, she's in the kitchen fixing, you know, dinner and. And she's just like, what is going on in there? And they're just carrying on. And the kid eggs are just, you know, hooting and hollering. And daddy egg, he's laughing too and all that. And she finally comes in and she's like, guys, what is going on? And the kid said, mommy, dad's telling us dad yolks.
Oh.
Ooh.
Dad yolks.
Yolk.
A dad yolk for the dad joke.
There you go.
Yeah. There you go. How about that?
Crickets. We still got that cricket sound.
Only here.
hold on. What do you think about that? Even a little rim shot there. Professional.
We knew it was coming someday.
Thank you, Sam, for that. You know, Sam on the drums there.
Sam.
Yeah. Dad yoke. There you go. That's the dad joke of the show. I'm pretty pleased with that.
Yoke them if you got them.
Man, with the eggs.
Just yoking around.
I don't have any egg jokes for you guys.
I'm really proud of this.
You're welcome.
I couldn't wait to. I hope the creepies enjoyed that. I know they do. I know that. I'm getting flooded with emails and messages. Oh my gosh, we love
from
your dad
all around
joke.
The world, right?
We love your dad jokes. Jokes, yeah, all around the world, Sean. All around the world. Hey, coming off of that,
yes.
How about the first announcements?
Oh, I have them,
if you will.
I won't smoke them though.
But you will not get a rim shot.
I will not get a rim shot. Dang. I'm working for that someday, right? We. Here us at the podcast or here in the studio, we are always having fun. We're doing the paranormal. We love our time here. We love being in your ears. But one of the most important things we do every single episode, and we will continue to do this, is build a mental health community. So we are here as you need us. We all need help, all of us, our families, friends, and all of you creepies. And your family and friends. So we want to make sure you guys are getting help. So if you are in need or know someone who's in need, call or text 988 for any types of crises. You can also text HOME to 741-741. Do not be scared to get help by going to a counselor. Make sure that you find one that you feel comfortable with. And sometimes it can take more than one time to find the right counselor. Also, we like to highlight bullying on this, and not pro-bullying, against bullying. So visit stopbullying.gov for another way to get help with that. Also, reach out on our Facebook group if you need a prayer or word of encouragement. That is what our group is there for.
Amen.
We got you.
Truly, yeah.
That's right.
We've used it ourselves, mm-hmm. and other people have too, so it's... Mm-hmm. It's wonderful, actually.
It is. People have to know that they're not alone and they can reach out.
That's right.
You know, because maybe they don't have a close family or somebody reach out, you know.
So mm-hmm.
Facebook group is one you can. Mm-hmm. So lots of good people out there, right? And we love our creepies. Our creepies are good
people.
I agree.
And you can even be having a great day and things can be going wonderful for days, weeks, months. And then all of a sudden you can just, even an afternoon, you can hit a brick wall and like...
Yep.
Whoa, what happened to my life? You know, and then that's a good time to be like, uh-oh, send out the SOS, right?
Yeah. And I played that Deion Sanders video.
That was great.
A week ago, and
loved it.
I've been trying to adapt that because I am one. I'm guilty about letting, whether it's small or big, mm-hmm. letting a moment ruin my whole day or days.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've got to be better at that. I cannot let something that maybe I should just stew on it for 5 or 10 minutes. I let mm-hmm. it go the rest of the day, maybe even to the next day and the day after. And I've got to change that mindset.
That has been a major learning avenue for me past few years.
Yeah.
It's just don't dwell on stuff.
Man,
move on.
Bad.
You know, let it be what it is and just move on.
I can right. second that and third it.
Especially if it's something that is out of your hands anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. it's trivial, it you know,
yeah,
one way or the other, it's not going to change anything. So why stew on it? Just
the worst,
move on.
The worst is when
it's hard.
That actually
it's
makes
very
it
hard.
Worse. It makes
yeah. it does. Well, the worst is when you're trying to sleep and it's still playing, and then you don't sleep well, and it affects your health. And yeah, no, I totally agree.
Yeah, so just deal with it for 5 or 10 minutes, and then
give it a little bit of time, and then let it go. Yeah,
yeah. No, I agree. Don't let it ruin your entire day.
They say,
and I'm speaking to myself
truly. And it, you know, everybody has their different ways, but give it to God, and that's a great way to do it.
Yep, He can handle it. That is for sure. So yeah. So do you guys have any shout outs, Sean, Nate?
Anybody do not off the top of my head.
Have any?
Not that I can think of.
No shout out to Penrod.
We hear about him all the time.
Oh yeah,
I love the name.
Shout out. He'll probably never hear it, but yeah. That's shout right. out Jeremy.
Yeah, shout out to Penrod.
He co-worker, makes it fun at work.
A co-worker and a form of laughter at work.
Uh-huh. Right? Yeah, we have a good time.
Lots
good.
Of laughs.
You gotta have a good time, right?
Yeah,
especially when you're at work. Okay, well, I just have a quick announcement, special announcement. Just want to remind everybody, we will be doing a Mako on location at the Indiana State Sanatorium on Saturday, April 22nd. The ISS hours are from 10 to 5. We'll get there close to when they open. Tickets are only $25 to be able to do an investigation or a self-guided tour. Go to the Indiana State Sanatorium website to get your tickets. The guys and I plan on doing some recording, and then afterwards we are going to do our own investigation, which will be fun. There's going to be some fun giveaways. We'll have those to give out for those who come out and hang out, and then, you know, just come out and visit the creepy and historical Indiana State Sanatorium. And I cannot wait. I'm telling you, we are
getting close.
Just about a month away. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, people come out. See us. We'll have some fun stuff to
give
to you.
We're predicting good weather, right?
Oh, 75 and sunny.
Excellent.
Just a light breeze, yeah. And it's probably going to be like 40 and
so good.
Downpour. And
it's going to be fun, and I've stopped.
Yes, it will.
I got a little lazy trying, you know.
Don't be lazy, Sean.
Nate and I aren't lazy ever, right? Oh. Indiana State Sanatorium, it just rolls right off your tongue. So, but I kept telling people we're going to the
Yeah.
Right? And then people are like, I think I'm. People aren't going to know where to show up.
Come out and see us at the ISS.
Right?
ISS, Indiana State Sanatorium.
That's right.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, though.
Do
it'll be our second time.
Don't let me confuse
you. Yeah, don't. Right. But yeah, just go to their website, click on, I think it says tours and investigations.
That's right.
And,
we're veterans, right?
Yeah. And $25, you have the whole campus, you know.
It's totally worth it.
Self-guided.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. It's definitely crazy there. Creepy.
Even crazier since we're going to be there.
Oh, it's going to be wild and crazy.
Wackadoo.
Because we're wild and crazy guys.
That's right.
Wackadoo. That's right. That's my favorite word. So, yeah, come out and see us and hang out and have some fun. So, moving on. Sean.
Yes.
What is this episode going
to
be about?
Well, this is your pick, so we have to start there. And that's this is going to be on West Virginia State Penitentiary.
Ooh, man.
Oh, I love these penitentiaries.
Oh, I tell you.
This is a good one.
They never disappoint, do they?
Never.
It's sad and creepy, but that's what we like here.
I know it's going to be a huge surprise.
Tragedy makes a lot of fun.
Isn't it sad? But yeah, it's true.
At your expense.
It's good for our podcast, but this is going to be a huge surprise. You're never going to believe this.
What is it?
But when I was watching one of the videos and reading some of these articles,
say
they say...
Don't say it.
I'm going to say it. It. There you go. It's the most haunted penitentiary in the country.
Yes.
I know.
Till the next one.
Till the next one, right? And nobody's going to believe that, right?
Well, I've got another penitentiary written down.
That's right. It's the most haunted.
All right. How about a little foundation?
Well, I happen to have some of that.
Cool.
The West Virginia Penitentiary is a Gothic-style prison located in Moundsville, West Virginia. Now withdrawn and retired from prison use, it operated from 1876 to 1995. Currently, the site is maintained as a tourist attraction, museum, training facility, and, you guessed it, filming location.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
I love how these movies and they use different prisons and penitentiaries to have in their films, like the one in Ohio for what's the movie? I'm drawing a blank on. Shawshank.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
I figured it would come to you fast.
Yeah, so West Virginia Penitentiary, a creepy place, and the place is huge. It's pretty big.
You're saying West Virginia's creepy?
West Virginia.
Just in general.
I said penitentiary.
So is in Indiana, but
I said penitentiary. I didn't just say West Virginia.
I love West Virginia, and I've never been there. I just know people that are from there. So.
I haven't either. You know who else is?
I'd love to go.
You know who else is from there?
It's not Nate.
No.
It's not you. It's not me.
Mothman.
Mothman's right. We got to be talking about that. That's on your list of 22 or whatever.
Is that a superhero?
No. Mothman. No, it's not a superhero. But
does he have red eyes?
He does.
Okay. Hey, we're talking about the penitentiary here.
We got way off track.
He's a winged creature.
We're in the weeds.
Yeah. So I picked this topic because I thought it would be fun to discuss. Got a lot of history, a lot of tragedy, a lot of creepiness.
That's right.
What else can you want, right? During its operation, there were reported of 36 murders and 94 executions.
Oh.
How about that? I had you at executions, didn't I?
You did.
You did 36 murder.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I found this that it said almost 1,000 men at the prison. It was their last stop. Dozens were hung, several electrocuted. Many more were murdered by their own kind. Mm-hmm. And then there's the ones that couldn't take it anymore and committed suicide.
Yeah. Pleasant place.
Yeah, right.
Sound like a blast to be there.
Sounds like a bed and breakfast.
Yeah, nearly 1,000, yeah. It said the executions were carried out by hanging until 1951. So, yeah. And then they turned to the old electric chair.
Mm-hmm.
Old Sparky.
I was going to say, it's got a good name, Sparky, too. Yep.
As it was affectionately named. Yeah,
it's like Chevy Chase, right? Sparky.
Right. Yeah. Sparky.
Different kind of Sparky.
The reason for this change was due to Frank Heyer, who had murdered his wife. He had been led to the gallows in front of a crowd of eager spectators. However, once the trapdoor dropped, a realization quickly dawned that calculations must have been incorrect, as when the weight of Frank's body hit the end of the rope, it decapitated him in front of what was now probably not such an enthusiastic crowd. After this, public executions were stopped, and it became by invite only. Oh, you got to be invited.
I think they got their money's worth.
I did.
Sell tickets, baby.
Yeah. I mean.
That's awful, though, man. You got more than you bargained for.
They got to see an execution and a decapitation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Two for one.
Don't lose our heads here, Nate.
Frank's never going to be the head of a major corporation.
Yeah, I've heard that, like, on the nooses, depending on how many loops are in it, if there's too many, it would sever the head.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
There really was a calculation of.
It wasn't just that one. There's
tying the noose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that though? Like
I cannot.
Like you would be just in shock. What did I just see?
Right.
Poor Frank.
And a hush came over the crowd.
You wouldn't want to be next. Who's next?
And then Frank's head said, "Hey guys,
let's just electrocute him from now on."
Yeah. Let's just fry him.
Yeah, that'll be so much better.
Yeah. Also, a well-remembered event at the prison was the 1986 riot. Conditions were so bad by then that the prisoners felt they had to protest. Bad plumbing and vermin/cockroaches were causing health problems and overcrowding. More than 2,000 men was also a problem. Locks were constantly picked, and prisoners roamed the hallways freely. That's not good. Guards were often stressed with their working conditions. A group of prisoners decided to rebel against the situation and awful conditions. 20 inmates called the Avengers. There's your superhero.
Right. There you go.
Stormed the mess hall where six officers, right, including Captain Glassock, were taken hostage and handcuffed. Over the course of this riot, three of the inmates who had been accused of being snitches were tortured and killed. Another inmate, Danny Lehman,
it's my kin,
spelled a little bit different, was chosen to negotiate with authorities. He was later murdered in the prison, and it did result in a new list of standards. Eventually, it was deemed that the conditions and size of cells were still too inadequate, and in 1995, the doors shut for good.
I know.
Crazy conditions.
You guys aren't going to believe this one either.
No, I won't. I don't care what you say.
The prison, before it was a prison, it's located on the banks of Ohio River.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, in the town of Moundsville.
Right.
And many Adena Indian burial mounds
were
located there.
I knew we were heading there. I just knew it.
Dating back more than a millennium.
I don't believe it.
That's awesome. It all goes back to the what? Who haunted before the Indians?
And then, like, and then
there was no
dinosaurs.
Haunting. Dinosaurs. That's awesome.
And then the dinosaurs came. What's next? A lady in white.
I haven't gotten that far, but yeah, there might be a lady in white.
Yeah, the old Indian burial ground trick again.
Indian burial ground,
man. I'm telling you.
So yeah, it seems the area was a place for death even before the penitentiary rose into the skyline.
That's funny.
Oh man, that gets you every time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be messing around the Indian burial grounds.
I still want to go back to, you mentioned that the cockroaches were taken over, but I wonder if the cockroaches, it was their place and that the prisoners weren't the ones that were crowding out the cockroaches. Maybe the cockroaches weren't the problem. It was the they overcrowded your prisoners.
You're saying that the cockroaches.
They had nothing to do with it.
Cockroaches should have rebelled.
They should have, right? Should have had their own little superhero group.
I keep seeing the, what is it, Beetlejuice or the. Cockroaches in the corner in a chair.
Yeah. Hey, yes. How's it going? Hey, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Mind closing the door?
That is
a great movie.
They're supposed to be coming out with another one.
I saw that.
That's right. It says the penitentiary's design is similar to the facility at the 1858 State Prison in Joliet, Illinois, with its castellated Gothic stone structure, complete with turrets and battlements, except it is scaled down to half the size, which is amazing because it's huge.
Right.
The original architecture designs have been lost. The dimensions of the parallelogram, we can't have nice things over there. The dimensions of the parallelogram-shaped prison are 82.5 feet in length by 352.5 feet in width. The stone walls are 5 feet thick at the base, tapering to 2.5 feet at the top, with foundations of 5 feet deep. And they looked huge. Mm-hmm. The center tower section is 682 feet long. It lies at the western side, like you said, of the complex along Jefferson Avenue is considered the front, as this is where the main entrance is located, which I love the entrance too, and those two little tower looking things. The walls here are 24 feet high and 6 feet wide at the base, tapering to 18 inches towards the top. And so many people in their videos, when they were like, this is our first visit here. We've never been here. And they were just, their first comments were, this place is huge.
Yeah, it is.
Huge. And that's what just look at it in some of the places we've been to that we felt like, man, these are big, you know. I can't imagine. We have not been to a state penitentiary yet, and so that's one that I think will be really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot of the investigators. They talk about just the massive size, and they've been to other ones. They're like, they're not even close to this thing.
Yeah,
and I was thinking, like, we went to good grief. I cannot think of anything. Waverly. Mm-hmm. You could probably put 10 Waverly Hills in this one.
Oh,
in this place.
Yeah, easily, probably. Yeah.
My gosh.
And that was huge, you know.
Yeah, what's that, 5 stories? And yeah, it's not small, you know, but not anything compared to this place. Yeah. And I just love the architecture. I love that Gothic look and so intimidating.
It's intimidating and like, oh.
Well, it's like the Ohio Reformatory. They do that on purpose.
You're not getting out of here, right? Yeah.
You're like, you're not coming to Disneyland, right?
No, you're not.
It ain't going to be fun.
Hey, wait, what?
No, not at all.
Yeah, how deadly it was behind bars in there.
Mm-hmm.
There is one known inmate, number 44670, better known as R.D. Wall. He was a snitch, so he got the ultimate punishment from the hands of his fellow prisoners. And this was October 8th, 1929. He was heading down into the bowels of the prison, where the boilers were kept, and was jumped by 3 other inmates. They cut and stabbed Walls with dull shivs. When they were finished, he was literally butchered into pieces. He's only one of the 36 homicides to take place there.
Oh.
And yeah, he's one of the earliest ghost sightings reported at the prison.
What was his name?
R.D. Walls.
R.D. Walls. Oof. That's gruesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's gruesome. Yeah.
Don't be a snitch.
Snitches get stitches. Snitches get cut up.
That's right.
Yeah, that's pretty
butchered.
I can't imagine doing that, though. Like, I don't know. I hear, and again, I was talking about mafia podcasts. Man, what they did to these guys. Like, just cutting them up or... with ice picks and knives and shooting them in the back of the head and all this stuff. I just, it's just gruesome, you know? So I don't know if I would be cutting anybody up into pieces. I'd be like,
"That's awful."
Yeah, we can kill the guy, but you go ahead and do the slicing up. Yeah.
Who knew that this episode is brutal? Decapitations and cutting up people. That's like, oh,
bring the slicer.
Who's hungry?
This is signs of a good talk.
Yeah, that's RD. It's a hard talk. RD.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it says many. I just lost my spot. Many experiences and tales have been told about the West Virginia Penitentiary. And probably not surprising, considering its violent history. It says on top of the prison violence, it is also built, you already said that, on the Native American tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, in fact, opposite the prison is the only remaining burial left in Moundsville, 2,000 years old, is estimated. So
wow.
There was something I was trying to
that's
come
why,
off of.
Yeah.
That's a long time. And then I wonder if this is, it doesn't say a name, but it says a dark shadowy figure has been commonly reported from different areas of the prison, captured in a photograph taken by the resident paranormal group there. Paranormal Quest, a lot of their evidence can be seen on their YouTube channel. So go check that out. Looks like they have a lot of EVP phenomena. So, of course, electronic voice phenomena. Noises on recordings you didn't hear at the time says they have been captured there, including the sound of a shotgun blast and the empty cartridge dropping on the floor is also available to listen. That would be wild. They hear the shotgun blast.
Oh, no kidding, right.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that the electric chair was built by an inmate?
No.
Paul Glenn.
No. PG.
That's sadist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. An inmate named Paul Glenn was asked to build an electric chair to carry out future executions.
Wow. He did not get it, I assume, right?
It's still on display there, and mm-hmm. 9 other prisoners were executed by the electric chair.
Mm-hmm.
Until West Virginia outlawed capital punishment in 1965.
65, okay.
And there's pictures of that chair, too. It's really ominous. I've only seen Hollywood's version of what somebody being electrocuted to death, but I can't imagine what it would be like to watch somebody actually do that or be present for that. It would just be...
I have no intrigue of watching that.
I wouldn't. Like I said, I've seen it recreated for Hollywood, which who knows? I mean, it's probably not too far off, honestly. I know they try to go for the shock value, but I bet it's...
Shock?
You see the... He caught the joke before I even... caught the rim shot.
Yeah, that would be very disturbing to watch happen right in front of you.
Oh, awful. You know? Yeah. Almost like a decapitated hanging.
Oh, yeah. I think I could handle that, but I don't know.
I don't want to know either one.
I don't want to see either one, right?
No.
Gross.
Not my bag.
Not your bag, man.
Many faces of death, right?
Old Sparky. Yeah, it says strange sounds, screams, and figures walking the hallways. And it said, this group says, how could we not choose to investigate this haunted West Virginia penitentiary? So it's got everything. It's got all kinds of paranormal stuff. So put that on the list, by the way, Sean.
Absolutely. Already did. Absolutely.
I already did it.
I've been preemptive.
You're starting to know.
This says something dark lurks in the bowels of the building.
Uh-huh.
The bowels.
Let's go.
That's
it's a dimensional being, probably. A big black.
Lurks in the bowel. Yeah. I like how you said that, Nate.
Mm-hmm.
A little creepy. Yeah. What you got, Sean?
Well, I was reading and thinking about the founding of all this. It was when back in 1863, when West Virginia seceded from Virginia at the height of the American Civil War, they had a shortage on everything, including prisons.
Sure.
And they talked about how much it costs and all this kind of stuff, and that they modeled it after the prison in Joliet. And they actually used inmates, of course, and you know how workers die and all that kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. that's part of the hauntings as well. But they also talked about having, how they wanted the cells and how they wanted, we were just talking about how looming and ominous it is. That's what they wanted. And that's why they copied that Gothic style, because they wanted it. What does it say? It says to show its great strength and be able to convey that. And, to the minds of people coming there, that it was going to be cheerless, and indicate the misery that awaited them and the unhappiness they were going to be feeling as they entered the walls and had to be basically entrapped there.
Yeah.
It's like, welcome. I assume you didn't get any kind of welcome basket.
No, probably not. No.
You just de-lousing.
Right.
Here's the hose.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not handing out any like coffee mugs or anything, you know, no gift cards like we did. We got when we, you know, we switched churches.
Yeah.
And so we got like little, what are the, you don't get the Yetis?
Yes, yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They put like,
you said Starbucks gift card, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's I don't think cool. they're doing that. With
the, no, and they're not doing it with the inmates.
No.
It says during, in addition to the fact that the inmates had to do construction, the inmates had other jobs to support the prison. In the early 1900s, some industries gardening. Within the prison, yeah, right, gardening, right, walls included carpentry, a carpentry shop, a paint mm-hmm. shop, a wagon shop, a stone yard, a brick yard, and a blacksmith, a tailor, bakery, and a hospital. And then also apparently they also had somebody crafting an electric chair.
So yeah, right.
That was a... yeah. That well, was added on later.
In a lot of those places, the asylums, the penitentiaries, they want it to be self-sustained.
Mm-hmm.
So they do, you know, do their own garden, you know, raise their, or grow their own food.
The food, and, right?
Yeah, all that stuff.
But, and all the money that they're making or mm-hmm. whatever is put back into the prison, so.
Correct.
So, like you said, self-sustaining, that's right.
Yeah, so I'm glad you put this on the list, Sean. I think we can, we'll have to, you know who else? I think our good friend Jordan Klein, he lives in West Virginia. I think he said he's not too far from penitentiary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Fireside Paranormal, shout out to his podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I should have reached out to him. Maybe he had some, I don't know if he's been there, but I think he's close to it though.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this place is wild. Got all kinds of stuff.
You talked about, I know there was the 86 riot, but there was also a 1979 prison riot or break for my birthday, apparently. On Wednesday, November 7th, 1979, 15 prisoners escaped from the prison. One of the escapees was Ronald Turney Williams, serving time for the murder, for murdering, Sergeant David Lilly of the Beckley Police Department on May 12th, 1975. He managed to steal a prison guard's service weapon in the escape, and upon reaching the streets of Moundsville, encountered 23-year-old off-duty West Virginia State Trooper Philip S. Kestner, who was driving past the prison with his wife. Trooper Kestner saw the escapees and attempted to take action against them. The prisoners pulled him from his car, and Williams shot him. Mm-hmm. Trooper Kestner returned fire at the fleeing suspects despite being mortally wounded. Williams remained at large for 18 months, sending taunting notes to authority and making the FBI's 10 most wanted lists. During that time, he also murdered John Bunchek in Scottsdale, Arizona, during a robbery, and was connected to crimes in Colorado and Pennsylvania.
Mm.
So, and then he ended up meeting his own. It sounds like he had a shootout with federal agents, the George Washington Hotel in New York in 81. He was apprehended and returned to West Virginia to complete several life sentences. Ugh, can you imagine? Like, dude, you're not going anywhere. I bet.
No.
It's probably like, you know, Silence of the Lambs kind of keeping you.
Right. You're gonna die.
You're going to be in a cage, my friend.
Yeah.
Among one of the wretched lives murdered there, leader of the Aryan Brotherhood,
ooh,
William Red Snyder, mm-hmm, Red for short, was violently stabbed 37 times in his cell. It's in his cell where people still hear his voice. But Red is not alone. May of 2004, a woman was staying the night at the penitentiary.
Mm-hmm.
She heard a noise, saw a figure, and then captured something. That photo now hangs in the museum. In quotes, it says, there was a solid black shadow standing in front of this door.
Mm-hmm.
And it was looking right at her.
Nice.
It seemed to be transparent as it moves. And it actually looked down at the light at its chest and then looked back at her, said,
what's up?
One of the penitentiary tour guides. Yeah.
Sorry.
How you doing?
But that's not strange enough. She continues walking back down the hall, raises her Sony camera. She took one photograph, and thankfully she captured the shadow we call the Shadow Man.
It's original.
I was just going to say, that's a...
Let's call it the Shadow Man.
How did they ever come up with that?
Man, they come up with some good ones. No, that's creepy. Anything, yeah.
The same tour guide, he, in 2012, on an eerie night, he was walking the dark halls in the north wing. Something blocked the light from his flashlight. A human-like figure, best I can describe, walked out sideways from cell 17 and kind of stared me down for about 5 seconds. I froze in fear because I thought, I don't want to continue walking towards it. I don't want to turn my back on it. So a few moments later, I decided I'm going to walk out backwards. I did that.
While
I got
taking
out
a picture?
Yeah. I got out of sight around the corner, and whatever that thing was, it was still standing there.
Oh, man.
Loud bang on the camera, staring at me. Still standing there, watching me.
That's scary. So that's what you scary. Wanted. You wanted that at Waverly. Well, you wanted yeah. Charge, though, baby.
Let's hope he charges.
Let's hope he charges.
Yeah. Yeah. I want
to know what happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wanted the
shadow. Good.
The creeper.
That's right. Yeah. You wanted him to come home with us, which I think he did.
I didn't say that.
Pretty sure.
I just wanted to see him there, and he can stay there. But that is speaking of creeper, that's creepy. Here's an investigation by this team. It says, the excitement of the night started very early on. Jason, our lovely and very informative guide, took us around and regaled us with the violent goings-on and dark history of the prison. It was as we neared the medical center that we heard a cough at the top of the stairs. We hesitated to listen, and this was soon followed by heavy movements on the top floor. Creeping up, we stood in the darkness and listened to the heavy sounds resounding around the building. Bangs, the sound of glass being rattled and moved, knocks, and even shuffling footsteps behind us ensued, causing us to go live to our Facebook page. Says this was too good to miss. This person says, or the investigator says, my first thought was that there had to be animals on the roof, but there would have to be a herd of them, as the noises often were simultaneous and resonated from rooms beside us, behind us, and down the hallway. Says this was to continue when we returned with Jason and Ryan, also members. Okay, this is the Paranormal Quest investigative team. It says, to investigate these noises. Both Jason and Ryan were as surprised as us, and they swear they had never heard it that noisy before. They explain that they often hear the building settling, as it is common with most old buildings, but never so loud and never with such good timing to question. And lastly, it says, interestingly, a lot of the big bangs were in response to my talking. Jason would ask nothing. I would ask and bang. When we were talking amongst ourselves, it was largely quiet. The equipment we had set out, though, remained unaffected and did not trigger up there once. So who knows?
That was interesting. Yeah, because some people, they had like experiences, and I've seen these in a lot of different investigations where they have some kind of an unexplained sound, and then they do find the reason for it. Something like we did in Waverly.
Yeah.
We understand why this, but it scares the bejesus out of you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then there are sounds that you cannot explain. You know, and so it's like, where in the world did that come from? So it's interesting when they find those that are like, what happened here? You know, like nobody else is around. And if the weather's not causing something, you know, or some kind of an animal or whatever, those are the things that I think of first. But
sure.
It does. It still gives you the chills, right?
Mm-hmm.
This has been the subject in novels and on film and TV, which we find a lot of these places. Moundsville native Davis Grubb has written a couple of novels with Moundsville as a setting. Fool's Parade, also known as Dynamite Man from Glory Jail, and The Night of the Hunter. The penitentiary was featured as a significant part of each plot. In film and TV, it's been all over it. These works by Grubb have been adapted as major motion pictures. The Night of the Hunter was adapted into a film by Charles Lofton and James Agee in 1955. It stars Robert Mitchum, Shelley Winters. Fool's Parade, starring James Stewart, Kurt Russell, and George Kennedy, was adapted into a film in 1971. This is great. Prison scenes in 2013's film Out of the Furnace was filmed on the side of the penitentiary. The prison was the site for MTV's paranormal reality TV series Fear. It was in season 1, episode 1. The Hulu original series Castle Rock, based on Stephen King's work, was filmed here. In the series, the penitentiary stands in as Shawshank State Prison, while the Ohio State Reformatory, which we've talked about in Mansfield, was used in the 1994 movie Shawshank Redemption. The showrunners of Castle Rock instead chose West Virginia Penitentiary because of the desire to make the town around Shawshank more visible. So they did episodes for Mindhunter, paranormal TV series, Most Terrifying Places in America. Travel Channel's used it and covered it. Science Channel has had it, Mysteries of the Abandoned. So it's just cool, though. But, yeah, it's been the subject of a lot of investigations, though. But I love the fact that it's the most haunted, so we can tout it that way, right?
Well, coming off of that, this guy says there was a lot of stories to tell and the public seemed interested. And it says, but what really put us on the map was MTV's Fear. It says Fear was a reality television program on the cable network from 2000 to 2002. On each episode, contestants were taken to an allegedly haunted location where they spent two nights and went through a series of dares in hopes of confirming that the site was haunted. It says the penitentiary in Moundsville was used in both the pilot of the show and the first episode. It says since then, there has been a steady stream of ghost hunters, ghost chasers, and other folks looking for a taste of the supernatural. So I'm trying to remember if I even, because that would have been.
I remember Fear.
Yeah, I think I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They'd have cameras, like a camera pointing mm-hmm. at them. Yep. And yeah, and they'd go in rooms and freak out and take off running. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I would do that. I think. No.
There's a lot of hot spots. Some of the locations are obviously Death Row,
mm-hmm.
the chapel, the rec area, the shower cages, the electric chair, and the North Wagon Gate.
Uh-huh. I've got pictures of that.
That's the area where, or the area which inmates were put to death via hanging. And the circular entrance gate that was used to admit new prisoners is reported to turn on its own with no one inside.
Nice. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it a lot.
They said there's a Travel Channel article talking about it. It says living like caged animals. During the 1950s, there were a good period where overcrowding was so significant that up to three prisoners were forced to share a 5x7 foot cell. There was room for only two steel bunks and a mattress on the cement floor. The men lived like caged animals, and the pressure led to deadly riots. In 1986, the West Virginia Supreme Court ruled that putting men in 5x7 cells constituted cruel and unusual punishment. In 1995, the prison closed their doors for good, and the inmates were sent to larger facilities that could handle them. There it says tortured souls still haunt the prison. Though the prisoners are gone, they're not forgotten, and by many accounts, the ghosts of some of the 998 men who died here still roam free. There's a shadow man that has been seen. You talked about that, and even photographed. I've got that. That photograph is so creepy too, about him. Hearing about him just gives you the chills, but seeing it is like, oh my, that's the fact that somebody got that on
they said he
photo is awesome.
He roams the entirety of the jail.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's like the creeper, right? He's gonna be everywhere. But it said staff of the prisons have been accosted by unseen forces, like you guys are talking about. Strange noises still echo throughout the cell blocks, and something dark lurks in the bowels of the building. And they say that just going in there's those places where people just won't go. I mean, it's like the energy is too heavy, the darkness, the evil that happened there, the abuse, not just, you know, guards against prisoners, but prisoners against each other. And they said it talked a lot about the hierarchy, and that happens in prison. You know, there's a whole caste system, you know, of how things go. And, you know, if you're at the bottom of it, you're probably dead.
Yep. Somebody's calling the shots.
Or somebody's.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the surprisingly active spots is a place. I think it's in the lower bowels of the prison.
You guys just like saying bowels.
Yes.
It sounds
very spooky.
That's right.
Yeah. And they called this place the Sugar Shack.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Where are we going with this, Nate?
Well, it's where inmates would go to gamble and do bad things out of the sight of the guards.
Okay.
This was saying that in reality, if you were visiting this haunted prison, you will be remiss if you forget to visit where the inmates enjoyed some rec time when they were not allowed to go outside, in the Sugar Shack.
We're talking about table tennis.
Yeah. It is said that it is quite common to hear people talking and arguing when in this area of the basement. Other people have stated that they have heard people off in different areas of the basement whispering.
Mm.
Of course, There are countless cold spots and bizarre noises heard when people are in the basement as well. The first hauntings were reported back in the 1930s. Obviously, the prison was in operation at that time. It was the guards on duty that would claim the hauntings. They'd see prisoners out of their cells, raise the alarm, and go searching for them and couldn't find them.
All
the prisoners were accounted for. So
That's
wild.
Like, yep, it's haunted.
That is spooky. Can you imagine that? Yeah, raising the alarm and then counting the prisoners and like, oh, nope, everybody's here.
No. What did I just see?
Unnerving.
It's already, you'd be a nervous wreck working in a place like that and then see some ghost or whatever. Oh, man. Not for me, but yeah. Yeah, they actually said they used to do a random drawing to see who would be the one to, as far as the electric chair.
Mm-hmm.
It was part of their job. Mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was just everybody had to put their name in basically a hat, and when it was time to do the execution, it was kind of part of your job. You had to be a part of it to be drawn. Yeah, and they draw your name out, and oh, got your call. It's your turn. I don't think I could do that either. You know, that'd be, even if they deserved it, that'd be kind of hard. I don't know. Yeah, and you were talking about like the conditions. They said most of the time they had three prisoners in a jail cell at once, and that is
honestly crazy.
Three, I mean, that's,
that'd be tight.
Point. Yeah,
it was in the running to be on the Green Mile, but the Green Mile
ended up
lost out to the Tennessee State Penitentiary in Nashville. It said that they, like I said, they had been in the running. It says during the warmer months, the complex, more than 100 years old, holds day and evening tours and spooky related special events, but it closes from November to April. So April 1st, it's just too cold. It says it's miserable, but it remains active. It says inside the penitentiary grounds, there's a separate event center, which can be used for everything from staging for the National Guard. I bet they've got stories to tell, to wedding receptions. I bet they've got stories to tell, birthday parties and dances. Can you imagine? Like, I'd like to have my birthday.
Where's prom at? Well, it's at the penitentiary.
Nice.
It says they have it. We have a huge amount of space here, and you're only really limited by your imagination.
Gosh.
And they have a Halloween attraction there too. Of course, all these places.
And the prom king is the Shadow Man.
All right, good job.
The man of few words.
Well, here's an article. It says the penitentiary housed approximately 80 women prisoners until the year 1947. Only when a new facility was opened at Pence Springs, West Virginia, and the women were transferred. It says the warden and his family continued to live in the administration building until a new dwelling was built just south of the penitentiary. So I did not know that they had some women there until 1947. Ooh, I don't know how. Yeah, good thing they got their own place. I don't know how that would have been.
I hope they kept them away from all the other crazy guys.
The wild and crazy guy.
All the stabbings and butcherings and...
Yeah, no doubt, though.
Ooh.
I know. Yeah, so 80 women.
That's awful. Mm-hmm. That the riot in 86, it says, because of poor funding, conditions within the prison continued to deteriorate in 86, that with the inmates rioting, they said over leaky sewage pipes that went under the floor of the prison cafeteria, the smell was terrible. Can you imagine trying to eat? Guards and kitchen workers were held hostage and threatened. Governor Arch Moore met with prisoners and negotiated for their release. They got pretty much everything they wanted. There were plans to decommission the prison already. They agreed to build a new cafeteria. The hostages were released, essentially unharmed, but not before the inmates killed three of their own men believed to be prison snitches. We talked about snitches get stitches, right? The state of West Virginia built the cafeteria, and the old cafeteria was partly converted into a visiting area for prisoners and their families. The walls inside are decorated with cartoon characters and a picture of a unicorn. Why wouldn't there be, right?
It makes sense, to be honest with you. Why wouldn't you have a unicorn in a old state penitentiary?
It says they didn't want the feel for it to feel like a prison to the kids.
Right.
Oh, that's nice of them to think about that.
Yeah. Just have one little contribution, and I'm kind of running out. It says, throughout the prison, visitors and staff report seeing fleeting glimpses of apparitions, smelling unpleasant odors, strange noises and echoes, feelings of being watched, and a disembodied voice that says, "Help, I am trapped." Visitors have felt brushed, tapped, and even shoved by invisible hands, and cameras have captured ghostly mist, faces, figures, and orbs. Some have seen the ghost of prisoners in uniforms walking the halls and disappearing into walls. Of course, we already said that the West Virginia Penitentiary is considered one of the most haunted prisons in all of the United States today, and it is also listed on the National Register of Historic Places. And then here's a little information. It says visitors to the prison can experience 90-minute day tours, three-hour investigations, overnight investigations, and various events from April through December. So I think someday we can go there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, absolutely.
Among the 417 other places.
I read another story of one of the carpenters or whoever. Say,
the who?
A carpenter.
Carpenter.
Because they do a haunted house there.
Yeah.
And he was down in somewhere in the prison carrying his tools to go to work. And something unseen grabbed his arms.
Ooh.
Oh.
Wouldn't let him work. I got it. Yeah, that'd be pretty intense if you felt that, you know.
You say they were intense? It's like camping, right? Sorry. Dad joke. Sorry, it's late.
You will not get the rim shot.
Late effect. I know. I'm trying.
You know what you're going to get?
Exactly.
Yeah, that'd be
bludgeoning.
It'll be freaky. Yeah, how many places have we talked about where they have like maintenance workers and carpenter and all that, and they work there, and they're like, "I'm out of here," and they just leave their tools.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we've talked about
and
a
that's
lot
their
of places,
livelihood. Yeah.
I
don't know.
Talking about how they like put there's art. It says art done by prisoners is scattered around the penitentiary. Landscapes and scenes from nature were popular. While the West Virginia State Penitentiary became one of the roughest prisons in the country, it did not start out that way. For years, going to the penitentiary was a high social function. Can you believe that? An invitation to dine with the warden in his apartment inside the prison was highly sought after. Residents of Moundsville came to the penitentiary for entertainment. At one time, the penitentiary had an orchestra, and inmates put on plays and minstrel shows. Wow. Locals could even check out an inmate for the day, hire them to do farm or yard work or clean their homes. That would not be safe, I don't think. Mm-hmm. You still have to pay them for their work, and I think it was 25 cents a day, they said. Prison also largely self-sufficient. Prisoners raised food on their work farm, like we talked about, handled maintenance around the facility, and even mined coal to power the penitentiary.
Nice.
It's crazy.
It is crazy, Sean. It's crazy.
I know. That's what I like to bring up, the crazy.
Yeah. As I try to clear my throat here. I hate that when you get
blown. Let me clear my throat.
On the TripAdvisor, gets a lot of 4 and 5 stars. And this person says, "We have done the Twilight Tour and the Day Tour. Both are very informative and a little scary. It is astonishing to see how the prisoners lived and survived. Bring your cameras and make sure to visit the small museum." They gave it 5. This person says basically the same thing, but they end theirs, "Not for anyone with heart problems." There you go. So, that's Sean, right. Sorry. You're up.
Oh, don't be sorry.
I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry to you.
Yeah, but no, it does. It gets a lot of good recommendations, a lot of good reviews, so. Pretty cool. Yeah, they said very accommodating.
Gotta go.
They said it's a great place. They said this person says a wonderful place and great people. From the hotel we stayed at to the lady who told us some stories of the place as we walked about. So they say a lot of the tour guides are very accommodating. They're very informative and just pleasant. Yeah. So that's what you want. Was the guy John? I think his name was John at Waverly.
Mm-hmm.
That was our tour guide. I love that guy.
Yes.
He was great.
Yeah.
And then
he was very good.
Yeah.
It's cool that you remember his name. Yeah.
Well, I can't remember 3 months ago, but I can remember John's name from a month or a year ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that helps. Yeah. But I think that helps because man, you're paying money and you want to walk around this place and you're excited and then you got to have somebody that's excited too. Mm-hmm. And you know, they do this 1,000 times a year, but you're the one that's at the time, you know, at that particular time. So you want to feel welcomed and informed and all that. So it does help to have good tour guides, people that are excited to do their job. Yeah. So it does. It gets good ratings. Anything else, Nate? Sean?
Not finding anything as far as what we haven't discussed already.
Okay. All right.
Oh, it's a great place, though. The pictures are amazing. If you
the pictures are cool.
Go check those out, like we always say, but we'll post some, obviously, on Facebook, too. But we
we'll
do
check
our drops.
Old Sparky.
Old Sparky,
Yeah, it's a neat place. And unfortunately, it's got a lot of dark history, a lot of sad history and tragic history.
As every penitentiary usually has, unfortunately.
Those in the asylums, right?
Not,
a lot of them start out pretty well. Even a prison... like the Mansfield in Ohio, you know, they wanted to do good. They wanted to hopefully reform these guys, but then it gets overwhelmed and overcrowded. It just, it gets really bad.
Good idea turns bad.
Yep.
That's right. I'm glad that the electric chair is no longer in use because I'm afraid that instead of the rim shot, that's what I would be getting. Would be the old Sparky.
Nate, are you good at plumbing?
Plumbing.
That joke went south.
Well, I haven't met a toilet I can't unclog.
Don't say what's wrong with me. We don't have that much time. We don't have that much time if you ask what's wrong with you.
Creepies, I apologize. I messed up my own joke. Are you good?
How about electrical?
I quit. I honestly.
I quit this day.
I give up. I have a headache. In real time, creepies, you're listening.
Awesome.
I was going to say, are you good at electrical work? Because maybe we can rig that old Sparky and see if Sean wants to sit in it and try it out.
Yeah, we'll bring some jumper cables.
We could feel ticker.
Oh, creepies. It's been a rough day, rough evening. I'm sorry. But anyway, that was a fun place to talk about.
It's a good time to insert. My brother told me that the other day. He said that his daughter, she said they were asking how days went, all this stuff. And he said he has a great line. She's young, but she said, I quit this day. And I was like, we got to get shirts made for that. That's a perfect way. Like, if you're not having a good day and you're done with the day, I quit this day. Now, I don't quit the life. I'm not quitting whatever.
No.
But I quit this day is a great way to say, I'm just done.
Gosh darn. West Virginia State Penitentiary.
Mountain Mom.
Go check it out.
Right?
I can't wait for the pictures when you post it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I won't disappoint.
You never do. You really,
going to say, ooh.
Just joking.
That's high standards, baby.
Well, I hope they enjoyed that topic. And let's move on to your middle-aged what?
It is going to be middle-aged moment.
Ooh.
I found
a little tidbit real quick.
Oh, gosh. Back it up. Boop.
nobody mentioned anything about the three switches, have you?
No,
Okay, well, with the old Sparky electric chair... three switches provided current to the chair that they were installed.
Mm-hmm.
The electrician who performed the day before checked on the... This is written very oddly. Checked on the wiring, put one hot, two dead, so as to give the guards a 2 out of 3 chance of not throwing the responsible switch.
Gotcha.
So that way, neither of the guards knew which one actually electrocuted the inmate.
Because in case that really, they hated to do it. But Are you sure it wasn't a plumber?
It may have been a plumber.
I never, that's interesting. Never thought to do that.
Yeah, I'm glad I
stumbled upon that. Then they used to do that with the firing squad. Like, not everybody had
only one or two people actually had bullets. The rest of them were blanks or something like that. Yeah.
Well.
That way nobody knew exactly who.
Everybody could sleep at night. Right?
Killed them. Yeah.
That is rough.
That is rough, Sean. That is rough.
It really is. Life is rough, right?
Okay.
Especially on a firing
squad. I'm glad you brought that up. That's an interesting. I did not know that.
All right. Proceed. Okay, back. I won't make the truck noises again.
You said a middle-aged what moment?
It's going to be a middle-aged moment, but first we have a sponsor.
Oh,
we
do.
We do. So it is Zevin Olderberg. He's a friend of the show. He's a friend of ours. I'd said this before, that he has been very supportive, especially through some of the rough times this month, and he's been reaching out to me, which I greatly appreciate that. We appreciate him as a fellow podcaster and a friend. His show is kind of murdery. He has that podcast, and it is really big, right? He's out in California. He's on all the social medias of like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, so you can reach out, watch his show. He's everywhere. He's
watch
very,
his show or listen to his show.
You can watch it. No, I was kidding. Listen to it. You know, there are some podcasts. I don't think he's one of them though that you can watch them and listen to.
I know.
But
our buddies, Evil Never Dies.
That's right.
Brett and Carl, they do a YouTube.
That's right. So you just never know. Rogan used to have it where you could do a little bit of both. Oh, okay. But, so I don't know. Zevin's got some really fun stuff out there on social media. So you can, he's very present, and he's close with his fans too. You can tell. So mm-hmm. which
yeah, if you like true
awesome.
Crime, go check out Kind of Murdery.
Absolutely. So thank you, Zevin, for that. And he's
we actually
on,
had him on our show,
and we have. Yeah, we have. He's been back. A guest. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's gonna have to be a return guest, right? We have something special here, and it's a middle-aged moment. So with my dad's passing, I wanted to definitely have a little bit of a memorial for him through this. I had told my mom, and I talked to my sister, my brother too, about, kind of what I was thinking. I also talked to my son, you know, Harrison, kind of what his thoughts were. I had about six different choices. So I did, I narrowed it down to two, and I'll tell you guys why, quickly here. But, the first one was there was a couple of days before he passed, 3/18, the day after, St. Paddy's Day. And, the indication was that he could have still been with us for a good 2 weeks to maybe a month. That was kind of the way he was kind of progressing. And I just had this feeling, that he was going to be gone by the weekend. And he did. He passed away on Saturday evening. So Jenna had said, and I'm not saying this to say, you know, she was wrong and I was right, but she said, she was saying to me, like, clinically, Sean, this is going to take a little bit of time, right? Don't think he's going to be gone anytime soon. And I told her, I said, I don't think he's gonna make it through the weekend. And she's like, kind of pish posh, you know, whatever. And I said, you know, and she was right. Clinically, it didn't look like it, but he just took this turn on Saturday. And, so I had been listening to it. I never heard this version before, but it is Aha's Take on Me. And, you know, that's a great song.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
And
video was great.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. But I've never really sat there and listened to the lyrics until I heard the acoustic version of them singing it on MTV.
I saw it too.
And it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. So
it's fantastic.
I listened to that 2 days before he passed, actually. And I had sent it to some people. My cousin actually told me, she said, Robin, who I've mentioned on the show, she said, you know, you sent me that song and it really rang, you know, like when it said, I'll read the lyrics, but like it says, I'll be gone in a day or two. And I was like, I know that was impressed upon me as well. But it says, we're talking away. I don't know what I'm to say. I'll say it anyway. Today's another day to find you. Shying away, I'll be coming for your love, okay? Take on me, take on me. I'll be gone in a day or two. So needless to say, I love this. My favorite line is, I'm odds and ends, but I'll be stumbling away, slowly learning that life is okay. Say after me, it's no better to be safe than sorry. It says, take on me. I'll be gone in a day or two. Oh, things that you say, yeah, is it life or just to play my worries away? You're all the things I've got to remember. You're shying away. I'll be coming for you anyway. So take on me, I'll be gone in a day. So it says, you know, it goes into the chorus. So it's beautiful though. Those lyrics, mm-hmm. like I said, when you hear it in the original version, it's perfect 80s. Mm-hmm. But when they slow it down and they really put the emotions into it, it's a beautiful song. And, not that my dad was a big 80s fan or whatever, but
he loved Aha.
He did love a closet Aha fan. But it just spoke to me those 2 days before, and it was just kind of weird that it came along at that time. So I thought, that was Harrison's pick out of the ones that I had. He said, I like that one, Dad, and I think you should use that one. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is my dad is a huge Elvis Presley fan, and so I had multiple songs. I even had couple of the ones that I plan not to use was Journey's Faithfully, because mm-hmm. it's, you know, about music man on the road, whatever. Well, my dad was a salesman, and so he was on the road a lot, and it kind of reflects him, you know, still not being present a lot, but he was also did try his hardest, and it talks about, you know, loving a music man is not as easy as supposed to be, kind of thing. So mm-hmm. I love that song. Kind of spoke to me too. Bryan Adams, Everything I Do It For You. Mm-hmm. It just felt like the strength of that song. But I went with another Elvis song because, like I said, he loved Elvis. And this one I was actually listening to today, and I'm like, I'm going to use this as an additional one too. So it's Always On My Mind. He loved all the Elvis songs, so wouldn't matter what one I picked. But this one, like I said, really just kind of hammers it home for me. Maybe I didn't treat you quite as good as I should have. Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have. Little things I should have said and done. I just never took the time. You were always on my mind. You were always on my mind. Maybe I didn't hold you all those lonely, lonely times. And I guess I never told you I'm so happy that you're mine. If I made you feel second best, I'll say boy, even though the lyrics are girl. I'm so happy I was blind. I'm so sorry. Excuse me. I'm so sorry I was blind. You were always on my mind. Tell me that your sweet love hasn't died. Give me one more chance to keep you satisfied. Little things I should have said and done. I just never took the time, but you were always on my mind. Always on my mind. Maybe I didn't treat you quite as good as I should have. Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have. Maybe I didn't hold you all those lonely, lonely times. And I guess I never told you I'm so happy that you're mine. Maybe I didn't treat you quite as good as I should have. So it just, you know, there's always these weird relationships with your parents, you know, too. And my dad, he was a very loving man. He was a very supportive man. But he was also, you know, he fought in the Vietnam and I told my brother and sister, like, you know, the war is over for him. So it's, to me, that's a beautiful thing. Cause he's been battling a lot in his life. And then with Alzheimer's, you know, the last 3 years, my mom's been caring for him. And so to watch him battle that was just like the battle's over. So that's a true relief. Mm-hmm. But it is, it's just, this spoke to me that, like, you know, that's what my mom always said. Your dad loved you guys. He's the kind of guy that we'd give the shirt off your back and do anything for you. He would share his food. He would do whatever. You know, that's a big thing for people, right? To share the food, especially around here. But it is something that he loved people. He would talk to anybody. He talked to the president of the United States the same way he talked to a janitor. So he was just a lovable guy that had a good sense of humor, you know. And just like anybody, he had dark sides. And there's, you know, complicated. Oh, doorbell. Oh, that's my dad.
Pizza's here.
It's my dad. Hey, Dad.
Yeah, maybe he did.
He's like, ding dong, don't forget
me. Came up on my calendar.
But he, isn't that funny? That's wild.
Hey, Mr.
But
Blaine.
He's right. Hi. But he is truly, that's the thing is that I think that, you know, from the rest of my days here, I will continue to try to make him proud. And I'm proud to have come from him, and I'm proud that my sons and daughters will be able to carry forth, you know, what he started, and was trying to perfect, and then they can carry that on, and I'll try to be the best I can, in his legacy as well. So, So I take great pride in that. I did tell my brother, we were all having tears, you know, when he had passed and everything. And my brother came in there and we had joked about, like, we're going to have to tell Chad, you know, with Dad passing, you're now the patriarch of the family. And he goes, can I just abdicate right away? And I was like, it's probably best. Like, you do not want that. You do not want to be the patriarch. But so anyway, but
that was nice.
Thank you.
Good trip.
Thank you. And thank you, Zevin. Like I said, and I appreciate Zevin sponsoring that too.
Yeah.
That's a special.
Thank you.
Yep.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, coming off of that, what else you got?
I have the second part of the announcements. You can follow us on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and Twitter. Email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. It's two ways. Catch us on our Tuesday Terror videos on all social media accounts. We are also on all podcast listening apps. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Give us a 5-star rating and review. If the app allows, please share our show by word of mouth and even texting or emailing the show to someone. We also sell cool merch, so go get you some. We offer sponsorships and I'm sorry, I messed that up. Sponsorship. I was doing so well too, right? We offer sponsorship opportunities for our episode segments. Individuals and businesses are both welcome. Please email us for more information.
Good job. I'll give him a good job.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Even with the little slip up.
Excellent.
Like, this is going too well.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Let's don't get crazy.
This is going too well.
No, thank you for that, Sean. Mm-hmm, and I'm going to look to my right here.
Mm-hmm.
Nate, what do you got, brother?
Well, I'm tired of this shadow man staring at me, so that's a wrap.
Back it up.
Kind of scared me. I'm tired of the shadow.
See if Todd's paying attention.
Woo, shadow man. Okay, thank you.
Where's the dump button?
The other would have fit better.
For the record, Todd is paying attention.
I'm actually kind of tired of the shadow man. Well, thank you, sir. We want to thank you, Creepies, as always, for listening to episode 108, man, 108, and our discussion on the creepy West Virginia State Penitentiary. And until next time, Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.